And it's Weekends on All Things Considered. I'm Jackie Lydon. This week, we recall the late actor James Gandolfini and his role as mob boss Tony Soprano. And we were re-immersed in the world of the New Jersey mob and their colorful language.
I'm going to say some bad words. You're just going to have to deal with it.
You're thinking I clipped your uncle.
But I didn't. Your uncle was a rat.
Clipping a rat, a vig, meaning money off the top. You hear them all in the movies from The Godfather.
What the hell is this?
That's a Sicilian message. It means Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
To Miller's Crossing.
Bernie ain't satisfied with the honest dollar he can make off the vig. He ain't satisfied with the business I do on his book.
To The Departed.
Well, you do know what a bookie does, don't you?
Yeah, it pays you.
Well, this week, a real mob has been in the news with the trial of former Irish kingpin Whitey Bulger. And as if the clock hadn't been turned back to the heyday of his Winter Hill gang, mob speak has shown up in the testimonies. And that caught the ear of our friend Ben Zimmer, the linguist and columnist for the Boston Globe.
This was the real deal, and it was fascinating hearing these senior citizens, actually, talking about misdeeds that happened 30 or 40 years ago and describing it using these terms that it was almost like a time capsule of this amazing, colorful slang.
And you can really get that amongst the Boston Irish. Tell me some of the terms that caught your ear.
We had a day of or two of testimony from bookmakers. They talked about rent. That's a term that came up quite a lot. If you had any bookmaking business or loan sharking business, Bulger's gang was trying to get a piece of that. And so you had to pay your tribute, which they called rent. But there are all sorts of other pieces of bookie slang there. For instance, loan sharking is called the Shylock business. And Shylock, of course, is the character in Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice. There are other terms, for instance, the vig. That's short for vigorish. This is a term that comes from Yiddish, actually, probably originally from Russian. And it's a term that bookies would use to talk about how much they would charge on a bet, or it would be sort of the interest, perhaps, that a loan shark would charge. So that would get called the vig or the juice. And so we heard that from the bookies. And then when John Martorano, the former hitman for Whitey Bulger, took the stand, then, of course, we got a lot of terms relating to killing people.
Yes, that is the sad business behind it all, even as a screenwriter is probably taking notes. But let me just play a clip. Martorano, longtime enforcer for the gang. Let's listen to him talking to the TV show 60 Minutes in 2008.
The hitman is that sounds to me like somebody's getting paid a paid contract. I mean, you could never pay me to kill anybody.
Well, it's a bit ironic that he bristles at this term hitman. He actually collaborated with a writer named Howie Carr on telling his life story in this book that was called Hitman. He says that was only to sell books and that he really isn't a hitman because he says he didn't get paid, although, again, that's kind of disputed. But it's very interesting, actually, the kind of semantic games and reinterpretations that you get from somebody like Martorano with a bit of mob slang like hitman. And another term that he took issue with is the term rat.
Rat. Rat is, even kids know what a rat is.
Right. Everybody knows a rat is an informant, but he didn't want to be accused of being a rat. He's a government witness for Whitey Bulger. Since Bulger was already an informant, that meant that Martorano himself was not a rat.
One's got the courage to stand on the stand. The other one's doing it behind your back and dropping dimes. How can I be ratting on a guy who's the rat for 30 years?
Would you explain how the not a hitman, not a rat is dropping dimes? What's a dime?
When he uses dropping dimes, that evokes the image of putting a dime in a payphone, perhaps, that you're calling up the authorities to rat on someone, so you're dropping a dime.
Ah, dropping the dime. Now, that I did not know. This language is fascinating, and it's been pretty durable.
Also, the colorful nicknames go back quite a ways. So there was this 1901 book called The World of Graft by Josiah Flint, and he was talking about the local thugs of Boston, and his main informant was nicknamed Boston Common Slimy, and who was at Bughouse Mary's Hangout. And, of course, that whole tradition of colorful monikers continues to this day. One of the bookmakers, Jimmy Katz, that testified, was known as Jimmy the Sniff. And I think perhaps people might not have known why he was called Jimmy the Sniff until he was on the witness stand and he was constantly sniffing. And then it was suddenly obvious why he got that nickname.
Well, Ben, the wordster Zimmer, your last column today in the Boston Globe. Next week, you start with the Wall Street Journal. Congrats again, and thanks so much for being with us. Come back once more.
Thanks. Always a pleasure.